Feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right. And now there's even more ways to take part in the community. Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience. Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
And now,
this is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the New Age Insiders.
This is the New Age Insiders Wrestling Show.
Hey, this is Cody Rhodes, the Prince of Pro Wrestling, and you are listening to New Age Insiders.
With your host, Jason Maltov.
We watch wrestling to enjoy. If you're not enjoying it, why are you watching?
Liam Stryker.
If I told you once, I told you 1,000 times. Storytelling, storytelling, storytelling.
And Bill Neville.
Unpredictability is the answer. When wrestling's unpredictable, it's at its best.
This is Warbeard Hansen.
This is Johnny Mundo.
This is Donovan Dijak.
Say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund.
This is Zack Ryder.
Hi, this is Howard Finkel.
I'm Bill Goldberg, and the New Age Insiders are next.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, liftoff.
So, I thought from top to bottom, Money in the Bank delivered. As it, one of these new, like, big five pay-per-views that we've kind of come to know over the last, like,
well, yeah, it would
five
be the,
or...
It would be the big fifth.
Yeah, it would be the big fifth. You know, I think it really delivered from top to bottom. I think WWE did a good job.
I think they did a great job. So here's the thing. I know that I'm the Brock Lesnar, I'm not going to say guy. I'm the Brock Lesnar fan in the group, and I get you here. And I'm going to do my fair share of happiness about the decision. But let me just say this just sort of in a neutral environment. Because I can read you a specific tweet. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. And I don't want to call out somebody specific. I won't even mention your Twitter handle, but don't do this. I only watched the last 5 minutes, but the finish was enough to make it an easy F, regardless of what happened earlier in the show.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Don't be that sentence. Yeah. Don't be that guy. Look, yeah, you don't have to like Brock Lesnar. I'm not going to try to convince you to like Brock Lesnar tonight, but that show was awesome.
Yeah.
And if you're just going to let Brock Lesnar turn an A into an F, like, look, if we got a meet and a B, deal.
I hated the finish, but yeah, it's definitely not an F.
It's crazy. Don't be that sentence.
The only thing... So, for those of you who are tuning in and already know the finish, otherwise, here, the spoiler, whatever. Who cares?
Bran won. He's the Game of Thrones winner.
Yeah, he's the Game of Thrones winner.
Bran Lesnar.
Bran Lesnar.
Bran Lesnar.
Brock won Money in the Bank. I find that to be very, very interesting. I actually really liked it, except for the larger implications of the Saudi Arabia show. If the Saudi Arabia show did not exist and Brock Lesnar just had the briefcase, that makes Brock Lesnar's next appearance very, very interesting.
And you now want to see him.
And now,
something.
And now the thing that we have been kind of talking about with Brock Lesnar is really cool because, like, yeah, he could just show up at any time to, and he's just this looming darkness over.
Like, literally, the only thing Michael Cole said that was good tonight was the closer where he goes, this is Seth Rollins' worst nightmare.
Yes. Now, the problem is that Brock Lesnar will probably come out on Monday and be like, hey, let's go to Saudi Arabia and, like, I'm going to cash in then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And now that is a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
That's a big missed opportunity.
So we'll talk about all sorts of things. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the whole spiel by now, anything we don't talk about tonight, because there is so much and you're not going to be able to cram everything in, and we are going to take your calls at 508-202-1624 if you're so inclined to give us a jingle. We will talk to you about anything and everything Money in the Bank, of course, which sort of dictates the pace of the show as well if you guys want to give us a shout. But if we don't get a chance to talk about something, we will talk about it live Wednesday night, 8 o'clock, twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. We're not just going to talk about the finish because I think it was a really good show. However, yeah. This right now, I think, is what is burning on people's minds is the Brock Lesnar thing.
Yeah.
So let's talk about it first. So here's the thing. On the one, I'm going to talk about the positives first. And although I am happy about this decision because I like Brock Lesnar and I like seeing Brock Lesnar do things, I think that Universal Championship means nothing. And for the record, yes, you can hate me, you can roll your eyes at me all you want. I think it is hysterical that they just think Brock needs to be the champion with this red thing. You know what I mean? That this title that was introduced when he was sort of like fading in and out of relevancy is now just his.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he's going to win it again, but we'll talk about that in a second. But here's the thing. We want to talk about some good things that don't have to be just a Brock Lesnar fan, right? Saudi Arabia is definitely the albatross here.
That's the biggest. That's why this isn't a good decision, but I, in theory, liked it.
Okay. See, I don't think it has to be so good decision, bad decision. I think it can be a decision in front of us with layers, right? Well, I think this can be grayer than black and white.
No, it's pretty black and white because now we left Money in the Bank with no briefcases. Right? Because Bayley already cashed in.
Yep.
And Brock Lesnar is going to cash in for Saudi Arabia, which is
that. But is that a foregone conclusion to you?
For Brock Lesnar versus Seth Rollins?
Yeah, but that's just that's just going to it's going to be a okay. Yeah.
Because so if Brock Lesnar was always going to face Seth Rollins at the Saudi Arabia show because that was the plan.
Yep.
Why did we need to give him the briefcase to give him the plot device to get there?
Because we don't do rematch clauses anymore, so we had to have a device.
Right.
This is it.
Right.
They're their own worst enemy, and no one made them do this,
right.
But they stood out there two months ago and says we don't do rematches anymore.
Right.
Even Nobody made you do that.
Even though we've had several rematches, but that's neither here nor there. Brock Lesnar is the
briefcase
holder.
Him in the match, though.
Him in the match, and now we don't have either briefcases. We might as like
fair point to me,
and so it is black and white.
Then why doesn't that fall deeper on keep it on Bayley for a while than it does on if you know that this is how this show is ending? Why is Bayley cash in?
Right. Well, both of the decisions are tied to each other, but not mutually exclusive. I think that we had to get one of the belts off of Becky.
Did we have to?
I think we did because we wouldn't be able to.
Aren't we? But aren't there a large group of people in that camp that are clamoring for unifications and no more roster splits? So isn't her being a double champion?
You're right, but they didn't present her as a unified champion. They presented her as two separate.
No,
champions.
I agree with you.
So again,
but
to me,
it's 6-1.
Based on the information I'm provided, if you're going to insist that she is the Raw and SmackDown Women's Champions and not the WWE Women's Champion, then, yeah, we got to get one off of her because if you're not going to count them as one, then they do need to be separate because, yeah, I like Becky Lynch. I like what she's doing. But, yeah, I don't need two Becky Lynch matches every pay-per-view.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the about it. On the other hand, though, not every title is on the line all the time. Like the Raw tag team titles, I'm not sure if they were part of the show at all, even with the kickoff.
But it's like everybody bitches and complains when like the tag team titles aren't on this show.
Right.
And you have the argument that it's like, well, Becky's already here.
Right.
So, and she's already done it.
Here's the yeah, but, and I know we got a call. We're going to take it because we'll take as many as we can. Two things first. One, we do have a poll that's up for days. So if you're listening Sunday, awesome. Here's your opportunity. If you didn't get a chance to, if it's your Monday afternoon, your Tuesday, you're going to work, whatever, you still have a chance at New Age Insiders. These polls last for days. So go ahead and cast your vote. It's only been up for less than 20 minutes and has 283 votes and counting. So we're going to get a big, good sample size here of what you would give Money in the Bank as a card overall. You can vote for an A, a B, some sort of a C or a D or an F right now. 31-19, by my terrible math, that's 50% of the audience would give this show some sort of an A or a B, which sounds about right to me. Second thing is, before we take the call, here's a silver lining that I do want to make sure I throw that out there in the ether. You're right that, in theory, this is the briefcase thing feels like we may have pissed some of it away. But I'm going to throw this at you. If we're going to use Brock Lesnar, which is something this company prioritizes, right? This reminds me of the same conversation we had years ago about John Cena and the one we had at any given time about Roman Reigns. If you're a fan, you have to accept that these people are focal points of the show. I don't know what to tell you if you want Roman Reigns to just go away. He won't. And I don't know what to tell you if you want Brock Lesnar to just go away. That is 18 to 24 months from now to me. He's still here and still doing stuff. So how do we use him? The character, the biggest fault has always been, I'm sick and tired of the character and the human being like, I don't care about this company or anything. This is the first time I can remember that Brock Lesnar has lost a championship and the character has wanted to do something about it.
Right.
So the fact that that guy goes, I am going to kill Sami Zayn, get in this match, and get my belt back, you're right. The Saudi Arabia thing makes everything non-ideal.
Two briefcases,
but that's a good thing.
Right, but that's the problem. The problem is the Saudi Arabia show, because if the Saudi Arabia show doesn't exist, right?
Yep.
And now Brock Lesnar, in theory, has this briefcase for a year. This is the best decision this company's ever made.
Or even a month, yeah, right.
Well, no, he's entitled to this briefcase for a year, right? And so if Brock Lesnar has this briefcase for a year, and at any point Brock Lesnar can just show up and challenge whatever champion he wants, that is the best decision this company's made in the past 10 years. This is not a good decision because it's a foregone conclusion that he's going to wrestle Seth Rollins for the Universal title, and we're using a very, very interesting plot device to just throw that away.
Okay. That is a completely valid point to make. We already see the votes getting added to the poll and literally shifting the numbers, so make sure that your votes count. We have a call. We'll take as many as we can. Who do we have?
Daniel in Connecticut gave us a call. What's going on, Daniel?
What up, buddy? We were just in your state. It was lovely.
How you guys doing?
Good. How's it going, Daniel? Connecticut's awesome. What do you think of the pay-per-view?
I thought it was pretty good. A bit of a swerve, but you know what? I enjoyed it thoroughly, despite everything that everybody might be saying. But the thing that struck me most is we're getting a new title tomorrow, apparently.
Yeah.
What do you guys think that title will be? Will it be a mid-card women's title, or is it going to be the return of the hardcore division? I think the tie-in with Mick Foley might be all too coincidental.
Awesome. All right, we're going to open up and talk about it. Thanks so much for giving us a call, buddy. We appreciate it. 508-202-1624, 508-202-1NAI, and we will talk about anything and everything from this pay-per-view, including a new WWE Championship being unveiled tomorrow night, because I do think we can all agree, no matter what, that the one thing, whether you thought it was the writing, whether you thought it was the character development, whether you thought it was the shows were too long, the one thing we all thought was the company definitely didn't have enough belts.
Yes.
We don't have enough championships. We don't have enough champions, and so we need more of that. And if we keep doing that, you know how when economies start to fail, right? And
right.
You look at Venezuela, and Venezuela's solution was
just print more money.
Well, let's make more money. Well, the problem is we don't have enough money. Oh, well, I got a machine that makes money, and it'll definitely stay as valuable as if there's more of it, right?
Right?
That's why gold is as valuable as rocks, because they're equally abundant.
Yes, correct.
You know what I mean? And so that's what this feels like, where it's like, oh, what's your problem? You don't like the show. There aren't enough compelling characters. The stories go nowhere. There's no structure. It feels like a disjointed entertainment variety show with no direction. What if we brought back the hardcore title? And it's like, look, I'm not going to pretend like I wouldn't be happy to see some sort of hardcore title gimmick come back in theory. But no, I don't think big picture that we needed another championship to fix the things going on in this company.
No. So I think there is a couple of things that I look at with this. I hope that the title that is unveiled is something along the lines of like a grand champion. We've talked about it on this show before, and I think it's a great idea for a championship and perfect for someone like Brock Lesnar.
Whoa.
Right? Where you are, if Raw has the Universal title and SmackDown has the WWE title, and they are exclusive to their shows, you have a grand championship that floats, right? A la the Undisputed Championship after the WWF and WCW titles merged way back when with Chris Jericho, right? And so that guy floats. I would love to see something like that, because that allows us to have a top prize that we don't have right now. We had Kofi Kingston and Seth Rollins look at each other after WrestleMania, and we're both like, yeah, we're both the champions. And it's like, yeah, but who's the real champion? You know what I mean? And so this kind of squashes that debate while also not necessarily diminishing the other two.
See, I think it does conserve it. I'm the WWE champion with all that history, and that guy's the Universal champion. And in theory, this guy is the champion of both of us, which does make him the grand boss of the video game.
Right. And
it does.
Right. And that's perfectly fine, but that guy doesn't have to show up all the time. You know what I mean?
It just feels like he would be the WWE's champion's champion. The WWE champion's champion. It's like,
here's the thing.
It's like the grand. That's like too much.
I'm okay with it because I think a women's mid-card title
You also wouldn't have Mick Foley debut that. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
That would be, of all the weird choices they've made recently, having Mick Foley debut the WWE, right. You know, United States Women's Championship would be the weirdest thing in the world.
And,
you know what I mean?
And on top of that, the hardcore title's out of the question.
You think it's out of the question?
I think so. Because...
See, I think the hardcore title's more likely than some sort of new world title tier championship.
See, when was the last time that we just had a hardcore title match?
Right. Or blood.
Not even a title match, but a hardcore match of any kind that wasn't at Extreme Rules. You know,
and you're right. It's just, to me, what this is like, look at what this company's, it's twofold. Look what this company's instinct always is, right? Nostalgia. What did you used to like? You'll like it again, right? And then what's another thing that they just think that, you know, and we've seen it with all sorts of indies, wink, wink, that think that if you just do ECW stuff, there's enough people out there that will just be like, oh, I'll eat this up and I'll love it.
Right.
Even though we know that's a diminishing audience by the year.
Yeah.
They still believe that, like, they do it all the time. They brought back ECW. They do Extreme Rules, the pay-per-view, for no goddamn good reason. Yeah. And so, yeah, if you told me that in a ratings spiral where creative people are getting frustrated, that WWE said, we'll just bring something harmless and popular back, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, I just don't think that, you know, you want shots to the head, you want violence when it comes, because we all laugh at the hardcore segments that we remember from the 24/7 days,
but they still do Extreme Rules pay-per-views, and you look what they got away with tonight at the Money in the Bank match. They'll beat each other up.
Well, look, here's the thing. If you're telling me that Mick Foley bringing back the hardcore title is like, yeah, we're gonna get edgier, then sure, I'd welcome it. But the current WWE product is too watered down from the days of the WWEF Hardcore Championship, and it's not going to be what you want it to be.
You could not be more right. If you thought Al Snow and Bob Holly were phoning it in their 11th hardcore title match that year before, at least they could hit each other with stuff. You're right.
Right.
But here's my question for you. And you said it off the air, and it's completely your point. And I know why it's like, all right, if it were to be some sort of big title, like world title level title, like you're implying, well, we don't want to play The Rock, and we don't use Steve Austin anymore, and Triple H is on screen, so yeah, Foley's the guy. But to me, that is a Vince McMahon thing, not a Mick Foley thing. So when I see Mick Foley is going to unveil that, and people can be like, well, he unveiled the Universal. He was the on-screen commissioner of the show.
Right.
They didn't bring Mick Foley in out of the blue because this was a big deal. He had an on-screen role, so I don't hear anybody telling me about Mick Foley in the Universal. Do I really bring in Mick Foley to debut this new historically important WWE championship? That doesn't, that seems weird. That's a Vince McMahon thing. That's the guy. It's the only guy that I think could possibly tell me that now the WWE champion has a champion.
Yeah. I don't think a hardcore title is the right answer. And it's a new championship. So I don't think that they're going to bring that back.
Okay. And I don't think they're gonna bring the I don't know what it could be, like, right. I don't think it's a women's thing related at all because of Mick Foley.
it's insane because they have a UK championship.
Yep.
They have the Intercontinental, which covers the North and South Americas.
For what it's worth, and although it might be semantics in this company, nothing matters in this company, but they have used the word newest.
Yeah.
So semantically, if you want to be an English nerd, you can bring back an old title, but it can be the newest addition to the current. So, like, if you brought back the European title isn't a brand new idea, but it's the newest addition to the active championships. Yeah. If you want to be a semantic snit, you know what I mean?
The problem I have with something like that, though, is
we don't need the European title. You have the U.S. title.
Well, you have the U.K. title.
Right, and the U.S. title.
Right, and so it's like, what are we doing? Why? Like, the answer is we shouldn't have had a belt.
It all stems back to that,
but it's weird because I think the reason why the grand champion thing makes more sense to me is just because I can't slot it in anywhere else. The women maybe deserve a mid-card championship. You know, that's a conversation.
I think they got one with the tag titles.
Right. That's a conversation. That's a different conversation. But basically, they get lopped off because Mick Foley debuting the belt means it's not a women's thing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It has to.
If Trish Stratus was doing it, if Lita was doing it.
If they didn't announce anybody. If it was just the question mark belt.
Right.
You know, it could be anything.
Could have been anything. But with Mick Foley, it feels like it's got to be a guy thing. And what are we going to do?
I don't know. And that's why my inclination would be hardcore title, because then it both does and does. Like, the hardcore title both did and didn't mean anything. Right. And so that's why you bring it in. It's like, yeah, it means something because you look forward to watching it, but it doesn't mean anything because it's not, it never was on the level of like the Intercontinental title.
Right.
But again, like, I don't know. I don't know. And you're right that, like, story structure wise, it would make more sense. But then again, like, I'm telling you that if Mick Foley comes out and goes,
yeah,
here's the real new biggest championship in all of wrestling. Right. It's like, Jesus Christ, Mankind made that announcement on a whim out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I know. It just logically makes more sense than the hardcore title.
You know why? Because you're right and I'm right, because this whole thing, it's so silly. You know what I mean? That it's just like, there's so many problems right now. And so let's slap a belt on it. Like, no matter what it turns out to be.
Right.
You know what I mean? Even if I
because it's like, you know, you look at Raw and it's still 3 hours and it still drags and we still have commercials. And it's like, so now we're going to introduce more segments?
Right. Now there's another match that, quote unquote, has to be on every pay-per-view or people get mad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We already didn't have time tonight for the
tag teams.
The tag teams. They were on the
all of them.
Right. The SmackDown were on the pre-show. And
they
weren't
defended.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. I'm not sure Raw made the cut at all.
They didn't.
Who are the Raw tag champs?
Zack Ryder and Kurt Hawkins.
Christ, that's right. That's right. We have a call.
Yeah. Speaking of the women's titles, we have James in the car on the line. Wants to talk about Charlotte and Becky Lynch. Go ahead, James. What's going on?
I just want to say that Bailey cheated. She didn't allow her opponent to get to her feet, which is standard procedure. And Charlotte Flair was robbed of her 9th women's championship.
Well,
hi, guys.
Hi, how's it going?
Hey, Jimmy, we love you. Awesome sign, by the way. We popped hard when we saw you. Jimmy, I want to ask you this because you were there. We'll definitely talk all about the women's cash-in. What was the crowd like tonight? Because it didn't translate well on TV.
I thought the crowd was good up until after Bailey won. And they wanted to be there for Rollins and AJ, and they weren't points. But for the WWE Championship match with Kofi and KO, they weren't. Where did the six-man come from? I went to the bathroom for that one. Due respect to those competitors, which means I don't really respect them, unfortunately. And then the ladder match, when Brock came out, it was the initial, oh, Brock's here? And it's like, oh, Brock won. So I would tell you that the crowd kind of died after Bailey won the title.
Okay. So let's talk about Charlotte and Bailey and the briefcase and all that stuff. Jimmy, thank you so much for giving us a call, bud. We'll let you go and let you drive home safe, but we'll talk to you real soon. We appreciate you.
No problem. I just wanted to say hello to my favorite podcast in the wrestling world.
We love you. And you can hear Jimmy and Sarge on Wrestling Inside the Ropes on 98.5thesportshub.com. Thank you so much, Jimmy. And let's talk about that. Let's talk about, because here's a point I want to make it throughout there, right? Because Nate tweeted at us and he goes, why did Charlotte have to win another thing? It's one reason. It's one reason only. She's going to win 16 titles.
Uh-huh.
And if you don't want her to be the champion, so like, think about it like this.
Right.
I'm dead serious, right? Yep. If she wins a title a year, right? And for 6 months, like say her championship reigns are 6 months, right? It's going to take her 8 years, and that's if she goes 6 months on, 6 months, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
So
right.
You don't actually want her to win 16 titles over the next 15 years.
Correct.
So what we got to
do it real fast, real quick.
Right, and so there are big fans like Jimmy that would rather her walk out the champion, but I think what you got to understand, the consensus is, and Jimmy knows this, but the consensus here has got to be that, to win 16, you have to win 9 and 10 and 11, and you don't want her to be, if you think
want lengthy title reigns.
If you don't like her and that's why you're upset about this, imagine if each title reign averaged 4 to 6 months.
Correct. I think that this was a good reset because it kind of needed to happen after WrestleMania, right? Much like WWE tends to do to themselves, they put the sundae on top of the brownie, on top of the cheeseburger, on top of the space soda, right?
Yeah, sure.
And
sure.
So it became too big for the moment, right? And Becky did a great job, and she won both championships, and we all applauded, yep. And we all loved it. It was great, right? But now we live in a world where, again, and like I spoke earlier, she wasn't the unified women's champion, right? She wasn't the undisputed women's champion. She was the Raw and SmackDown women's champion, right? So we needed to hit the reset button on one of these championships somewhere.
Okay.
And I feel like this is a great way to do it, right? Because Lacey Evans gets involved after losing her match to be like, yeah, Lacey Evans doesn't get it. Charlotte takes advantage because, woo, she's a flair. Then Bayley comes down and we have Bayley walk out champion. So you feel better about Becky not walking out to double champions.
So here's the thing is I completely agree with everything you're saying. So they made a conscious decision tonight that going into this pay-per-view that they were not going to have her be
double champion.
That wasn't what they were going to do tonight, and so be it, whatever. But the biggest thing is they wanted, and like I agree with you completely. So if we're going to do that, right? Lacey Evans has a super amount of heat on her right now with, you know, the online fans, whatever that value has. And Charlotte has a super amount of heat on her for being blonde. And
mission accomplished.
And having the audacity of being Ric Flair's daughter and succeeding Randy Orton and all that stuff, right? And so there's just no matter if she was going to lose a championship, it was going to go to somebody that made the internet go like, of course, you know what I mean? And so what they did tonight was try to alleviate that. Like you said, I completely agree. And they go, look, we had to make a conscious shift here, but we found a way for a good guy to win the Money in the Bank and cash in and make you happy when a good guy walked in with both belts.
Right.
So a good guy walked in with both belts, right? So now we have two different champions, but they're both popular and beat people you tell them you don't like.
Correct. Right. And that's the reason
Charlotte lost a match tonight, and Lacey Evans lost a match tonight.
Right. And so the thing is you're going to be, we need to get the belts off of Becky, right? We need to get one of the belts off the Becky. They did the right thing and got the SmackDown title off of Becky. So now Becky is holding down Raw, which she should be. And so now we move on and we get Bayley this championship, and you love Bayley and everybody likes Bayley. I don't think anybody's ever said a bad thing about Bayley in her life, right?
Yeah, sure. She's my favorite.
Right? And so it's like, Lacey Evans screws over Becky to give Charlotte the win. I hate Lacey and I hate Charlotte, right? Mission accomplished. That's exactly what I needed.
Exactly.
I needed you to be mad that Becky lost, hate Lacey Evans, hate Charlotte, and then Bayley comes in to save the day and White Knight the whole thing.
Yep.
And now we separated the championships because, again, Becky was not the undisputed women's champion. She was the Raw and SmackDown women's champions. And I said it earlier and I'll say it again. Yeah, I like Becky Lynch. I like Becky Lynch a lot. If you have her wrestle twice a show, that's going to get grading real quick.
Yeah, I understand that point. I do. And the idea tonight also is they looked at the sheet and they said that this is what we're going to do with Lesnar. So let's try to make you as happy as possible as we can with the other briefcase. And that is probably as happy as the average fan could be. Because you're right. There are people out there that are like, but I really wanted Ember Moon. And there are people out there that are like, I really wanted Mandy Rose or whatever, whatever. So I'm not telling you that it's like everybody went home happy as far as the women are concerned. But that's impossible to achieve in general. So at least tonight they thought what they made was the most likely, ubiquitously popular decision, knowing that you can never get 100% of the crowd.
Well, and, I think something fun that I kind of took an opportunity to look at this pay-per-view a little differently, right? I tried to take a little bit of a step back and kind of look at it less analytically and try not to be hypercritical of everything and just let everything play out.
Sure.
One, I had a far better experience watching this show because of it. And two, that roller coaster was a ton of fun. If you can take your personal prejudice out of it, and by prejudice, I mean your favorites didn't win X, right?
Sure.
Yeah, that's a really fun thing. Oh, I wanted Becky to win, and she didn't. She got screwed over. Man, that sucks. Oh, they're beating her up. Oh, Bayley's coming down. Oh, Bayley's taking out Charlotte. Yeah. Oh, that's such a fun roller coaster to just go on.
And I don't mean to be a dick when I say this, and I know it might just sound dickish because it's just sort of like, this is a matter of fact. But it's a matter of fact that Charlotte is going to win 16 titles. That is clearly what we're doing. Anybody can see this coming. This is the track we're on. And so, like I said, it all kind of stems to my initial point in the topic. If your answer 6 or 7 years ago was, I just want John Cena to go away, well, that's not going to happen.
Right.
If your answer is, I just want Roman Reigns to just go away, well, that's not going to happen. So what happened tonight? That guy, his match lasted a minute and a half, right?
Yeah.
That guy was on this show so little, you know, like the bare minimum that guy could have appeared in the show. And so you got to be happy about that if you don't like him or whatever, whatever. And so with Charlotte, if you love her, like Jimmy, then you're in for an amazing ride because she will be hailed by this company as the greatest women's wrestler of all time. That is the goal. The goal is to create the greatest women's wrestler of all time. That is something Vince McMahon has never done, unless you count Moolah, who was wrestling 30 years before Vince took over.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so like he can't take credit for Moolah, and he knows it. And so like his goal now is to just do that, right? You know what I mean? Like, and so that comes with 16 titles. And that comes with 9 and 10 and 11 and 12 and 13 and 14 and 15 first.
Yeah.
And to do those, they've got to happen. And this is one of the ways you get them done. And like just like if you don't like Roman Reigns, well, tonight he was on your TV for 90 seconds. You're going to be okay.
Yeah.
And if you don't like Charlotte and all her championships and man or blonde hair that bothers you too much because pretty blonde women have been succeeding in wrestling for as long as there's been wrestling.
Yeah, right.
If that bothers you too, well, at the very least, she didn't leave with the championship tonight. And I bet you, you know, 10 through 15 average out to be less than 4 months each. You know what I mean? Because the real ultimate goal here is to get to 16. And, you know, that's just what's happening. And I'm sorry if that bugs you. 350 votes. We're up for like a half an hour. This poll's doing well. 33 and 19 is 52% of the vote would give this show some sort of an A or a B, with A winning at 33%. And it's fun this week because instead of an A, you get to vote Yowie Wowie.
That's fun.
All right, on the line we have Austin in Michigan wants to talk about Brock Lesnar. Go ahead, Austin. What's going on?
Hey, y'all. How you doing?
Good, you?
How's it going, bud?
I literally just got done pacing around my room a little bit because I'm kind of at a loss. like I thought the show overall was fine. I wasn't like over the moon about it. And I wasn't like hating it, but like I don't know. I may be overreacting, and it's very possible I'm overreacting. But I am so like I don't know. I just like I don't understand why if a company is going to legitimately consider something like All Elite Wrestling competition, why you would ever go back to a guy that nobody likes in terms of Brock Lesnar. And granted, I'm sure some people like Brock, but I'm not one of them. And considering how a majority of your fan base thought we were done with this at WrestleMania, and in like a little over a month's time, it seems like we're going back to this. I feel like I'm in Groundhog's Day, and I don't want this shit to keep happening. And considering how the ratings are doing this badly too, this I can't see any reason why we would go down this route. I wanted to know if y'all had like the same like kind of freak out moment that I had, or like if you guys were okay with this or not, because I just need to hear a difference of opinion, or at least hear what y'all think, because I'm at a loss for words.
You got it, buddy. We appreciate the call. We'll talk all about it. Thanks so much. We appreciate it. 508-202-1624. First of all, everything's going to be okay. Take a deep breath. I promise. And I'm not being condescending. Everything's going to be cool. But let's talk about it. So here's the thing. I will take the point of a Brock Lesnar, you know, pro, and you can easily take the anti-Brock Lesnar stance. The thing about this, and you brought this point up, and I couldn't agree with you more. If you want to be mad at Brock right now, okay. And if you want to be mad at WWE about Brock right now, I completely understand. But here's where your anger should really go. This Saudi Arabia show is a disaster. Because on the one hand, and I'm not going to take it away from anything, right? Here's the guilty secret here that nobody actually wants to admit because of the blood money and especially after the Khashoggi thing with the beheading and all that stuff, right?
Right.
Here's the thing that nobody wants to say out loud if you hate this show. They actually tend to be pretty fun. The two they put on have been, I mean, they've been clusters, especially the DX tag team match thing. But if we're being honest with ourselves, they've been pretty fun house shows with main with WrestleMania vibes, right?
Right.
And I'm sure this one that they've strategically changed the name, by the way. It's not Crown Jewel anymore. It's Super Showdown.
Yeah.
And this one, just to be honest with you, it's got Triple H versus Randy Orton and goddamn Goldberg versus The Undertaker on
Braun Strowman versus Bobby Lashley, Finn Balor versus Andrade.
Exactly.
But in a 50-man battle royal.
Right. And so it's like this one's going to be a fun watch, too, and probably one of the better pay-per-view-ish things they put on this year.
So now,
but at the same time, it's super icky because there's a bunch of blood money involved. And after the, again, after the it was already gross at one. It became disgusting at two. And now at three, it's just sort of like, oh, nothing matters anymore because they're just going to cash the checks. And so you brought it up with the briefcase, and I'll bring it up with everybody's, you know, and I understand why people are having these panic attacks because they're like, holy shit, is Brock going to be the champion of Raw again? And we just, is this, did I just have a, you know, did the girl of my dreams agree to go out with me and I thought everything was going good and now she's just right back with Brock Lesnar? You know,
yeah, right.
You know what I mean? And so I want to throw this question at you. What are the odds of Brock Lesnar not winning?
I think it's pretty good. I think it's pretty good that Brock Lesnar,
because that should help people kind of calm down too.
It's getting him to the show, not getting him out of the show, if that makes sense. But here's the thing that fans don't want to talk about, right? At least from an analytical numbers standpoint, right? WWE has done better when Brock Lesnar is the champion.
Yep.
And that's the problem. The problem is that whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent, or who's watching, who's not watching, the hardcore numbers and reality of the whole situation is Brock Lesnar is the champion. Ratings aren't historically bad. They might not be good, but they're not historically bad. Then we take Brock Lesnar off of this as the champion, and they're historically bad.
Yeah.
Right?
Like all-time bad.
And like now here's the thing. We could blame it on Roman Reigns and the lack of Roman Reigns' popularity, and we could talk about that on the first go-round. Right? But now you told me from the entirety of the Roman Reigns experience that Seth Rollins is the guy. Seth Rollins is the guy. Seth Rollins is the guy. And Seth Rollins became the champion, and now we're still hitting all-time historic lows. Now, again, I don't blame the performers 100% because I do think that there is a lot of blame to go around with the storytelling and story structure, right? But this does speak to the star power aspect of it, where it's like, yeah, Brock Lesnar won the Money in the Bank and everybody's talking about it because Brock Lesnar showed up from Jupiter to come in and win the Money in the Bank, which...
Don't you have to watch Raw tomorrow?
Would you have to watch Raw tomorrow?
Would you have to watch Raw tomorrow if Drew McIntyre won?
No.
Would you have to watch Raw tomorrow if Randy Orton won?
No, and that's the thing. And so it's a catch-22 because while I will tell everybody to sit here and relax, yeah, WWE has a lot of problems right now. And it's like trying to, like, there's a hole in the boat, and we're trying to get the water out of the boat, but we're using, like, a bowl.
And Vince is in the back of the boat ordering a new belt off Amazon.
Yeah, right, while it's all going on. But... yeah, we have to figure out how we stop the leak, and then we can worry about fixing the boat, right? Mm-hmm. And so this is, right, wrong, or indifferent, this is the way WWE fixes the leak, right? Or stops the leak. It's, yeah, we got to bring Brock in. We got to create a moment that people are going to care about. Yeah, it's tied into the Saudi Arabia show, and... I just need you to care about the Saudi Arabia show, right? So now Brock has the briefcase and everybody's like, what? Brock has the briefcase and I gotta figure out how people care about that. Now, again, I would tell you that if you stopped caring about the singular moments of having Brock Lesnar come out of Jupiter and it doesn't really make sense, but it kind of makes sense. So to win the briefcase, to continue your storytelling, that's so short-sighted as opposed to, yeah, you know what would have been great? Let's have Ali win and then let's develop Ali, right? Because we know
even Andrade.
Andrade, whoever. It doesn't really matter. Sure. But the point is that it's like, yeah, we pick a guy and then we build this character and stories around this character. And they just don't do that. And that's part of the problem.
Couldn't agree with you more. The thing about Lesnar right now, too, is like, look, I'm going to try to, you know, calm some waters here because I know there's a lot of people out there that are just not happy about this. And I'm not going to try to sit here and tell you like, because look, I had my fun, you know, watching the show being like, Brock Lesnar is the king of the universe and all that stuff. Because I think it's hysterical. I just do. This guy's Thanos. And every time I kill you, you come back like, I thought I finally killed you in 2019. In 2014, you comes back and almost beats me. I don't know what to do with you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't kill Brock Lesnar. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I just think it's funny. I think it's compelling. And I just think the idea, in all honesty and sincerity, that on this show, that everybody's number one complaint is that Brock doesn't care. Well, the character, even if it's a short-term Saudi Arabia, even if it's bad, it's still one good thing that the character goes, oh, there are no more rematch clauses. So I'm just going to get this briefcase because I'm Brock Lesnar, and then I'm going to beat you over the head with it, and then I'm going to win because I want my belt back. And haven't we for years been waiting for Brock Lesnar to want his belt back?
So this is the problem. And we're part of the problem. I will acknowledge that this show is part of the problem, right?
Oh, dear.
Yeah. The intricacies of knowledge of the backstage of the show has ruined the forward-facing product that we're supposed to enjoy, right? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because Brock Lesnar, we are told, doesn't care at all, right? And WWE books Brock Lesnar, right? And we've talked about this a billion times. Brock Lesnar doesn't get asked, hey, big guy, you want to come to work today? And he's like, nah. They said, Brock, we want you to come to Hartford, Connecticut for Money in the Flipping Bank. You're going to not be advertised. You're going to sit in the back and you're going to come down. You're going to throw a couple people around. You're going to climb a ladder. You're going to get a briefcase. Cool? It's literally the last thing that you as a person in this company can do, right? Because we haven't even talked about the historical nature of, like, Brock Lesnar, King of the Ring, Royal Rumble, every single goddamn belt. It's like he murdered Hulk Hogan, right?
Yeah,
this is literally the last thing that Brock Lesnar could do, right?
Yeah.
And you're going to do this in the last, like, 5 minutes of this show.
Yep.
And we're out of here, big guy.
Yeah.
And
that'll be $500,000.
Right. Yeah, I know. And this is the thing, and, like, you know, we're like Red Sox fans. Right. And this is one thing that I always find to be stupid when people call in sports talk radio shows and complain about how much money somebody signed a player for. It's like, I don't know if you know this, but they just have all the money. They can just pay these guys whatever they want. And it doesn't affect you. You don't have to pay part of this guy's salary.
I'll counter that.
Right. But the point is,
I'll counter that with $11 beers and $7 hot dogs and $75 good, not great seats. That is because their payroll's so high.
Yeah.
And so I would tell you that WrestleMania tickets averaging $300.
Right.
That money comes from somewhere.
Right. But the point is that I'm making specifically about Brock Lesnar.
I understand.
Brock Lesnar, you shouldn't care how much Brock Lesnar gets paid to show up.
I do agree with you.
WWE said, here's the check. And he goes, where do I got to be?
Right. Yeah.
And I showed up and I was there. And the thing that nobody wants to give Brock Lesnar credit for is that he has never phoned it in, right? Except for one time.
Ambrose match.
The Ambrose match at WrestleMania. I'll give you that. But outside of that, he hasn't phoned it in. So the narrative of he doesn't care is one weird backstage rumor situation that people like us, unfortunately, have perpetuated, right? Because if you, again, I was super psyched when Brock Lesnar came because I'm a fan of storytelling and stuff. And it's like, oh, yeah, this asshole came out of flipping nowhere and just won this thing that means he could just show up at any time and win this championship. That's bananas.
You want to talk about, like, where they are now in their relationship. Chris Jericho. Awesome to see at Brock Lesnar win the Money in the Bank match, even though he wasn't officially entered. Brock is the future of the biz, and this is a perfect example of genius booking shows and why WWE will remain on top forever. Hashtag go Brock go.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Chris
He's
Jericho,
right.
You nailed it.
That's right.
And
Kettle Black.
Yeah.
We will
talk about Pac and Hangman on Wednesday, just throwing that out there.
Yeah. But Kettle Black. We got a call, Bill?
Yeah, we do. We got Justin in South Carolina. He wants to talk about the self-proclaimed biggest news coming out of Money in the Bank. Go ahead, Justin.
Now, you guys know I love you.
But
that's, you know what? Hang up.
There's a big butt coming.
Yeah. No, we're not doing it.
But now Brock is huge. Bailey cashing in the same night is huge. But how can we not bring up the fact that the greatest wrestler of our time is now officially a Grand Slam champion?
Let's talk about that, because let's talk about that for a couple of reasons. One, the ending, weird. Two, there is a real historical element to this.
Yeah.
Justin's favorite wrestler is Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio is now a Grand Slam champion for what that means in the modern era, which I think is a little less than it did 15, 20 years ago, just because so many people have now kind of held that
Well, and there's
moniker.
Also so many belts that qualify.
Right, but what it is a great time, it's a great time and an opportunity, rather, to look at this as an example, as a time to reflect on Rey Mysterio's all-time career. Because here's something that you could throw about Rey Mysterio out there. WWE loves to tell you that everything's the biggest that ever big, right? Those are the biggest footsteps that anyone's ever taken as they walk to the ring, right? But when they call Rey Mysterio the greatest masked wrestler of all time, that is absolutely true.
Yeah.
That is true. It is. I don't think anybody, the average fan, not everybody, a lot of people do. Let me start from the beginning.
Yeah.
Average wrestling fan just doesn't know Muda, just doesn't know Liger, just doesn't know Ultimo Dragon, and I could tell you that I'm not convinced they had better careers than Rey Mysterio anyway.
So the thing, it's, what does it count? Like, what are you counting? Is Kane count? You know what I mean?
I think
Rey Mysterio is bigger than that, but yeah, I think if you're naive enough to just take WWE's word at it and you're not abreast of the entire world of wrestling, I think that, yeah, sure, you can live with that statement and it's not incorrect. But yeah, the conversation is
Muda, Ultimo Dragon,
Liger, and then Kane. Like Blue Demon.
Kane is in that conversation.
Blue Demon.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Like, and I would, but none of the people, and I know who they all are. I really do. And I know what they did, where they did it.
Right.
But I would tell you that I don't think any of them had the bigger, because Rey Mysterio is as big in Mexico as they are in Japan, and they are not as big in the United States as he is.
Right.
So in their homelands, they are equally big deals.
Right.
And that guy crushed it in the United States.
Yeah.
That's your X factor.
Yeah.
Because Muda is a gigantic deal in Japan. Well, Rey Mysterio is equal in Mexico. They are equal. They are. And so if that's the case, and Muda never made it big in the U.S., like, Rey Mysterio's won WWE championships. He's 5'8".
Yeah. But has he ever held public office?
No, that's right. He's never been the mayor of Knox County.
I wasn't even talking about him because both Kane and Thunder Liger have also held public office.
Right,
so,
right.
You know.
But again, and I'm not trying to be somebody, because you're right, I'm not just trying to get swept. You know, I don't like to get just swept away in WWE. But no, I'm not just to be, and I'm not calling you this either, but just to be some sort of like wrestling internet smarky, let me take off my glasses and give you the right answer. And no, I'm not just going to say that Jushin Thunder Liger had a better career than Rey Mysterio just because that's the smarky answer.
Yeah.
I don't think he did, because I would tell you that, yeah, in Japan, you're incredible. Well, in Mexico, Rey's incredible. What'd you do in America? And that market matters.
Yeah.
And Rey crushed this market.
Yeah.
You know, more than any of them did. So I really do believe that Rey Mysterio is the greatest masked wrestler of all time. And it's an awesome debate to have, though.
Yeah. The finish of that match was weird.
It's not a debate.
His shoulders were up.
Yeah.
Both of them, maybe. Certainly one of them.
I mean, that's what happens when you have a rotund fella.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Like, it's like the Big Show's shoulders have never been on the mat.
Right.
But, like, Joe's were like kick out level.
He was like rolling to the right. It was weird.
Right. And if they're going for, like, controversy and that's why he freaked out, that's fine.
Yeah.
But it should have just been that Rey, like, rolled him up and got him, and he's so mad that he freaked out.
It's weird because it feels to me almost like we did it so that Rey could get the title, but, like, give Joe a reason to get it back on Tuesday.
Right, and freak out.
Yeah.
But what I would also tell you at the same time, too, is, like, yeah, it's just, it would have been better if he just, like, you know, snuck one by Joe, and that's why he flipped out like that.
Because I also don't think that this United States Championship reign is going to be lengthy at any cost.
Yeah, this was to get it off the bucket list. This is the checklist for Ray and get that all done. Thank you for calling, Justin. We hope that we answered your question and so much more. And Ray Mysterio, now a Grand Slam champion. I really do believe that, you know, the greatest luchador slash, you know, masked wrestler of all time. I do. I believe that.
Yeah.
All right. So as we get ready to wrap things up here, because we will talk about anything that we didn't get to tonight on New Age Insiders, the NAI Live, Wednesday night, twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV, Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. That's where you guys need to be. I just want to quickly go through a couple things that we didn't might not have got a chance to. Again, just in real quick passing. So Bayley is the women's champion. What else happened tonight that we just didn't get to? Finn Balor's the Intercontinental Champion. He was in that match.
Yeah.
We talked about Brock a lot. We talked about the...
The Lucha House Party getting destroyed by Lars.
So very quickly, are you surprised that Lars Sullivan's already back on TV after he just ate that shit sandwich from the...
So I don't think that the fine's real.
No, I don't think so either.
I think that it's a PR thing.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
It's the same thing when they say they fined Brock like a $500,000 or whatever.
See,
they don't do that.
I don't think those are the same. I don't think Brock Lesnar clearly scriptedly beating up Michael Cole and this guy getting screenshotted being a racist. I don't know, but I don't think they're the same.
Also not entirely sure Lars Sullivan's made close to
the
kind of
money
to pay that kind of fine.
$100,000?
Yeah.
I'm sure he has, but over the course of what, 5 years in NXT?
But also a lot of companies, most companies, especially sports leagues, you don't cut them a check. You go play for free.
Oh, okay.
In the NFL, you lose a game check.
Right.
You don't cut
the check. The whole thing to me, I don't like him at all. There's nothing I like about Lars Sullivan. I think that you have far better talent in that role. You already have the guy in Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman, right? So why do we have another Ooga Booga Monster, right, when I have Braun Strowman and Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley running around?
Yeah, right. You're not that big.
You're not that big. You're not interesting.
Right. Rusev is better than you, and you have the same body type.
Right, and it's just the whole thing is just really weird to me. I don't think that the guy's worth the headache at all.
Yeah, right. So he's having these, I can't go out there, panic attacks. He has a history of documented, screenshotted, ignorant, bigoted statements.
Yeah.
And why are you trying this hard?
Yeah, you're not worth it. Like, if this guy was Braun Strowman and we had a couple of tweets that's just like, hey, man, like, you gotta... You know what I mean?
Yeah,
keep it together, and it's like, but it's like, yeah, we're gonna tell everybody that we find you. We're gonna actually send you to sensitivity training, right, with HR.
Yeah.
And yeah, but after that, it's just like you're flipping Lars Sullivan, man.
Why are they trying this hard?
Like you're
with this guy.
Like you're not the answer. It's just like you're just not the answer.
One really interesting note I just looked at when I was looking up the match card here. There was 3 matches bell to bell tonight that were under 2 minutes.
Yeah.
There was Mysterio and Samoa Joe. You had Bayley and Charlotte and Roman Reigns beating Elias in 10 seconds.
The Bayley one, I'll cut him some slack. But the other two, that is definitely interesting. That's basically the pay-per-view right there.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Roman Reigns and Elias.
Yeah.
That happened as well. The Miz, we didn't talk about The Miz and Shane McMahon at all. That was very good.
That was very good. It was one of the better cage matches I've seen in WWE in a long time.
Yeah.
I thought they did a great job. I am very, like, again, it's all about interesting stuff, right? So now Miz and Shane keeps going because The Miz hasn't gotten his yet.
Right.
Right? Because of circumstances that The Miz has perpetuated, he hasn't been able to get one over on Shane.
Yep, and you've made this point before about Triple H and how Triple H is a lot of things that Vince McMahon wanted to be but couldn't be, right?
Right.
And because he is an evil boss who got in the ring but definitely didn't get in the ring the way Triple H can get in the ring and present himself as an all-time wrestler.
Right. And I'm one of the greatest champions of all time, and I'm your boss.
And what I would tell you is Shane is right in the middle.
Yes.
Because Shane is a McMahon that can get in the ring, right? And you know that you've got a fight ahead of you, right? But, like, tonight, Shane McMahon won in a way that if Vince McMahon was in that match, that would have been getting pulled out by Patterson and Briscoe.
Right.
That would have been the Big Show coming through the ring to break the cage or something, right? Even though Austin won that match.
Right.
But, you know, so Shane McMahon doesn't have a Patterson and Briscoe, but he still like weaselly took the shirt off to get out of it, right?
Yeah, slipped out of his shirt. He got superplexed, but technically he was on top of the Miz.
So you knew you were in for a fight with an actual real tough competitor,
right?
But he still had to weasel McMahon his way out of it.
Correct.
And that's what Shane McMahon brings to the table. And I've said this before on the show every Wednesday night at 8, twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV, is Shane needs to win more than he loses, right? Because he's a regular on-screen boss. And if everybody just goes, I have a problem with the boss, get to fight him, and then beat him,
yeah,
that is a dangerous cycle. If the boss is going to throw his hat in the ring, he does actually need to win more often than not.
Right. Because, I mean, you know, even in Austin McMahon, McMahon won a bunch of those.
Yeah, McMahon won the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, right.
You know, that Austin was in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's, you know, that's how it goes. We do have the poll up. It'll be up for days. Right now, 51% of the audience would give it some sort of an A or a B. 32 winning out with a yowie wowie A grade.
Yowie wowie.
And I did think,
I will say that if I could have had it my way, I would have liked to have seen Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, I'm
I feel like we've gotten there at this point.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
I thought I would see him before I saw Brock, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I thought that that's what we were getting. Because when Sami Zayn was hung upside down...
And it's super evil and weird.
When that happened, and then Triple H finds Braun Strowman and goes, Braun, what the hell, man? Like, you gotta do it. And he was like, I didn't do that.
Yeah, right.
You know, I was like, oh, it's clearly spooky dookie.
You thought it was Batman.
I thought,
which I'm also very okay with.
Look, here's the thing. I'm just like, you know what? Screw it.
Just introduce Batman.
Introduce Batman.
If Batman was just a part of this show.
I mean,
now,
look, here's the deal. Spoiler alert. We're going to talk about how the guy from Twilight's going to be Batman now on Wednesday's show.
Yeah.
So, you know, strap in.
But to be fair, vampires are already Batmen.
Yeah, you are correct.
So he is a role he's had a lot of practice in. Thank you for joining us. The poll is up. We will see you Wednesday to talk about this and oh so much more.
Oh my goodness.
Your $5 matters. Patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders or twitch.tv/NewAgeInsiders TV. If you have Amazon Prime, you can subscribe for free. Become a Patreon. Hear the bonus shows. It's a really fun experience and it means a lot to us and helps it grow and grow. We have a lot of overhead around here and that your Patreon money matters, and we give you like literally twice as much content as you would get for free anyway. So be awesome. Meet us in the middle and patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders. Get the shows. Be awesome. twitch.tv/NewAgeInsiders. We will see you Wednesday. My name's been Jason Ball.
I'm Luke Stringer.
And I'm Bill Neville.
We are the New Age Insiders. Find us on Twitter, including during these shows, at New Age Insiders, at Liam, N-A-I, at Bill Neville, N-A-I. The website is newageinsiders.com, twitch.tv/NewAgeInsiders TV, where you can find all the friends, the affiliates, the shows, the goings on, and everything that makes us the premier place for fans of all universes to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
We out.